Hebrews chapter 11 tonight will be in verses 11 and verses 12. Looking at someone that is often overlooked when we've studied Abraham and you go through Genesis and you look at all the great patriarchs and you look at all the great history and Bible stories of the patriarchs in the book of Genesis and you look in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11 and you see so many verses devoted to Abraham that we sometimes forget Sarah. Sarah was an integral part of this partnership that God called from Ur of the Chaldees. A very obedient wife that went with her husband and followed him wherever God called him and wherever he went. So tonight we're going to look at Sarah and looking at an interesting topic tonight, a thought tonight from Hebrews chapter 11. Now remember, we're looking at the lives of these great heroes of the faith, and we're looking at their walk, their journey of faith, and how we can apply their lessons, good and bad, to our journey so that we can be better Christians, not of them, but for ourselves, better Christians for the Lord, and so that we can learn by their examples. And of course, we have looked at several tonight. We come to week 7 tonight, looking at Sarah, beginning in Hebrews 11:11. It says, "Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, spraying there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable." Looking tonight at a measure of faith of Sarah. A measure of faith and what we can learn from her life and her journey. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love and for your mercy. Lord, I pray that you would help us this evening to learn this truth from the Word of God. Take the feeble words that I have and use them only like you can through the Holy Spirit to instruct us and teach us. We want to hear from you tonight. We don't want to hear from me. Lord, I hide myself behind you in the cross. Bless your people for being here in Jesus. Amen. Faith. The journey of faith, what we're looking at, but Hebrews 11 is about faith. And faith is like a tree bursting with fruit here in Hebrews chapter 11. And we see that fruit that faith brings, the fruit of the tree of faith and what it brings is in the lives of these believers here in chapter 11. Faith, we looked at Abel, and faith listens to God as Abel obeyed God and followed his instruction. Faith walks with God as we saw in Enoch's life. Faith fears God, reverently fearing God, but also concerned for the judgment of God as we saw in Noah. Faith obeys God without even direction. He says, "Yes, Lord, and I'm following you," as we have seen in Abraham. Tonight we come to something very wonderful. Faith receives from God. If we have faith, we can receive from God. We see this in the life of Sarah. If we go back to Hebrews 11:11, and notice just the first few words here in this verse, through faith, or it could also be said, by faith, also Sarah herself received. She received something through her faith. Faith receives from God. Faith brings into your possession what you did not have before and what you could not get on your own. That's faith. That's faith. Bringing into our lives things that we cannot claim and secure our own. The story here of Abraham and Sarah, it begins with God's remarkable promise to Abraham that we've seen. Back in Genesis chapter 12, as we saw last week, God told Abraham, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth bless. We are blessed today through the legacy of Abraham. Over in Genesis chapter 15, God continues with Abraham and says, when they disobey God and try to help God out and have Ishmael through Hagar, God says to Abraham, this shall not be thine heir. But he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And then God brings Abraham out away from the camp. And he says, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. Well, of course he couldn't. God says to Abraham, so shall thy seed. This is an extraordinary promise. First, because Abraham and Sarah have no children. Sarah is barren. Second, because Abraham at this point in Genesis 12:4 is 75 years old. Sarah is 10 years younger, 65 years old. Years go by from the promise of God. And every month, can you imagine, Sarah, there's another year gone by, disappointed, not a son. And God had given a promise, and its fulfillment was nowhere to be seen. Year after year after year. 24 years later. 24 years. How long do we wait on God? 24 minutes? 24 seconds? Maybe 24 days? 24 years Abraham and Sarah waited for this son. When Abraham was 99 years old, basically impossible to have a child, right? At least in our thinking. God appears to him again in Genesis 18. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and that's when God is in the Christophanies, in the appearance of man, and he's walking with the two angels, and they come up before they go to Sodom and Gomorrah, and they stop at Abraham's tent. And have a meal. And when Abraham saw these three men standing by him, one of them was the Lord. Now Sarah prepares a meal for these unexpected visitors. And while she was working in the tent, Genesis 18:10 tells us, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. This is God speaking to Abraham, but in enough audible voice that Sarah can hear in the tent. And I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. Now Sarah in the kitchen, in the tent, hears what the Lord has said. And the Scripture records that Sarah laughed within herself. Not openly, not outwardly, but within herself. And she says to herself, not audibly, but to herself, she says, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? But verse 13 of Genesis 18, this is how we know it's the Lord. Sarah does not say this openly. She does not say it audibly. She says it within herself. She thinks it. And Genesis 18:13 says, "The Lord says unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh?" Verse 14 says, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" 1 year later, Sarah was laughing again. But this time she was laughing outwardly of tears of joy. Because now she has had a child and Isaac has been born just as God had promised. That's the story behind these two verses in Hebrews 11. And Hebrew gives us this God-breathed commentary on their journey. And it says, "Through faith also Sarah herself received." Faith receives something from God. Sarah, because of her faith, receives something from God. She receives strength. Strength is what she got from the Lord. God gave Sarah strength to conceive a child in her old age. She's 90 years old. Abraham is 100 years old at the birth of Isaac. The Bible, though, places very special emphasis here on the fact that this miracle took place in Sarah only, not on Abraham. Notice the wording again. Through faith, or by faith, also Sarah herself received strength. It was Sarah herself who received the strength from God, not Abraham. It wasn't that great a miracle for Abraham to receive this strength, because what we see later in the book of Genesis, we are told after Sarah dies that Abraham marries again. Over in Genesis 25, Abraham marries Keturah and has six more children. So Abraham, even though he was old, was not beyond becoming a father again. But for Sarah, she was barren. She could not have children. And so God miraculously gave her the strength to conceive because of her faith. The miracle of Isaac's conception took place because strength from God to Sarah. And that is why the spotlight here on verse 11 and verse 12 is on Sarah's faith. Sarah herself believed. And by faith, she received strength from the Lord. Now, the word strength is a very interesting word. The word strength in Hebrews 11:11 is the same word that's used in the New Testament to explain the miracles, the mighty works of Jesus Christ. They use this word as mighty works. They use this word as power. The miraculous, divine power. So Sarah has received a divine strength or power. For the mighty work of God has been done in her so she could conceive. And it only comes through faith. So Sarah received power or strength from God. By faith, Sarah herself, it says, received this strength. She is receiving something that she does not have and cannot obtain on her own. It's from God. This strength, this power came from God to her. And this is how she was able to do what she could not otherwise have done. It was not of her strength, it was of God's strength and power. God is able to give you and I the strength, the power that we need to meet the challenge that we face. Faith. This theme of receiving power runs through the Bible. Jesus commissioned 11 to go and take the gospel and to make disciples of all nations. This is clearly beyond their comprehension. In Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power. That's the same word. Hebrews 11:11, strength. Ye shall receive something that you don't have on your own and that you cannot obtain on your own. But to do what? Why are you giving us this thing that we do not have and that we cannot obtain?
To continue my work.
He says in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. What does that mean? What does that mean? What does that look like in practice? We know what the Bible says, but what does it mean in real life for us? We don't have flaming tongues like a doves coming from the heavens. And we don't have that today. So what does this look like of us receiving this strength, of receiving this power that we need from God? Well, Paul gives us some examples through his ministry, through his journey. And so when we want to see what this looks like about getting by our faith something that we don't have and cannot obtain on our own, but that continues the work of God, Paul shows us three things from his life that help us to understand what this looks like. Go with me here to Colossians chapter number 1. I want you to see these examples of what this strength, this sustenance, this ability that we get from God because of our faith. Colossians chapter 1, notice verse 28. Colossians 1, no wonder it doesn't look right. I'm in Philippians. Like, that's not the right verse. Colossians 1:28. Word of God says, whom we preach, this is Paul speaking, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving together to His working, which worketh in me mightily. That word, working, is the same word as strength, Hebrews 11:11. It's the same word as talking about the miracles, the mighty works of Jesus Christ. He says, we're striving according to His working, His working. His power, His strength, which worketh in me mightily. The word working is the word we get energy from. So Paul was sustained in the work by God's energy, by His strength. So one of these great examples of how faith works in our lives to give us what we can't receive on our own and no way to obtain it. It must come from God. Is sustaining energy for this journey. Anybody's tank running a little low? When you take on responsibility, there will be times when you wonder, how can I keep going? How can I keep going, Lord? Well, your answer is the energy, the strength of the Holy Spirit of God will work powerfully in you if you ask for it by faith. It worked for Paul. It worked for us. Sustaining energy. But then over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we have another example of Paul and his journey of faith. And he has a need, just as we have needs. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. The Word of God says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." This power is the same power that Sarah received. It is a power to endure pain and suffering. To endure pain and suffering. When you face pain, when you face suffering, a trial that sucks the life out of you, you may wonder, how can Christ possibly use me when I'm having to carry the weight of this burden of pain and suffering? Well, your answer is that in your weakness, Christ's power will clearly rest on you if you ask for it by faith. And a last example from Paul's life that helps us to understand this is over in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, there was a time when Paul was put on trial in a court of law for preaching the gospel. And his counterparts were not there with him at this time. He was physically alone. There were no other believers with him to support him at this time. But his testimony in 2 Timothy 4 helps us. In verse 17, "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthen." When we face loneliness, the Lord can strengthen us because He is with us. When you find yourself alone, you will find yourself asking, "How can I get through this?" Well, your answer is the Lord will stand with you, give you the strength. But back to Sarah and thinking of her faith. It says again in Hebrews 11 and verse 11, "Through faith," or by faith, "also Sarah herself received." God is able to give you the strength that you need to meet the challenges that you face, but you must receive it through faith. Faith is the means by which we receive from the hand of God. Now, preachers of today and of yesterday have turned this doctrine. And they preach a prosperity and health and wealth ministry and message, and that is not biblical. Far from it. Let me share with you just a few verses to help you understand why it's not biblical. Yes, God wants us to ask Him, but God has structure to what He desires for us to ask and why. James 1, verse 5 through 7 says, if any of you lack wisdom, boy, I do. I need wisdom every day. Working with college students, working here in the ministry, working, trying to establish two satellite campuses here in North Carolina, working with the North Carolina government, working with the federal government. Oh yeah, I need wisdom every day. Every day. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask. Oh, is it that simple? Let him ask of God. They give it to all men liberally. And upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. God's not going to beat us down for us asking for wisdom. But let him ask in faith. That's the key. Let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Well, that's pretty clear. In order to receive, we must ask. But when we ask, we must ask through faith, not wavering. Jesus went on to say in Mark chapter 11 and verse 24, what things soever ye desire. Oh, has anybody got a big wish list? Whatsoever things ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. This is that verse that this doctrine has spun from, and a couple others. And they use these verses, these preachers, to say, you can have anything if you have enough faith. No, that's not what this verse means. You've got to take it back into the context of the Scriptures. They promise universal health. They promise prosperity. They encourage their hearers to name what they want and claim it from God. No, it's important to interpret Scripture with Scripture. Not pulling a verse out of context to make a principle and doctrine on. God does not contradict Himself. He is not the author of confusion. If you pull this verse out and make this doctrine on that, it's going to conflict and contradict other verses in the Scripture. That's not God. So we need to ask ourselves, what do the Scriptures say on this subject of asking and receiving? Jesus said again in Mark 11, 24, the words of Jesus, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. We must understand this verse along with other verses in the Scriptures. How much more might we receive from the Lord if we ask and believe more? Scriptures tell us that we do not have because we do not ask. James teaches us that. We want to receive from the Lord, we must ask though through faith. And then if we ask with faith, Mark 11 says, we will receive. But what does Matthew 7:7 say? Ask. And it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. So if we ask more and believe more, we will receive more. No, that's not how this works. In Hebrews 11, it teaches us this lesson. By faith, through faith, Sarah receives strength. By faith, we too can receive from the hand of God. What can we receive from the hand of God? What is it attached to? Getting ahead of myself, but look just at the end of that verse, verse 11. It says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. She received the divine strength of God to do something, to conceive seed. What is that conceiving of the seed attached to? In the latter part of the verse. Because she judged him faithful who had promised. So, if we have faith and we have a need, we can pray and ask God for that need to be fulfilled through faith if He has promised to give it to us. What has He promised to give us? Oh, many things. But He has promised to give us peace. He has promised to give us strength. He has promised to give us comfort. He has promised to give us victories. Are we praying for those things in our lives? Through faith. The hymn writer wrote, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Why? All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. See, God has promised us, His children, peace. He has promised His children to not have that pain. He's not going to take it all away miraculously. He can. Doesn't mean He always will. But those are things we can pray for. Paul tried to pray away this thorn in the flesh, and God said, no, I'm better. I'm stronger when you're weaker. So faith rests on the promise of God. That's where I'm going. There are two things here. Faith rests on the promise. Faith rests on the promise that He had promised Abraham and Sarah they would have a child. God gave her the strength because she had faith. You may have met people who say all things are possible with God. And there are those people, and I'm one of those people. All things are possible with God. But then they continue and say, if you ask anything in His name, He'll do it. Name it, claim it. Well, nothing's impossible with God. It's only your lack of faith. No, it's attached to the promise of God. By Sarah's faith, and it resting on God's promise that He said they would have a son. She believed God. And God gave her the strength to conceive. God has not promised every woman to have a child. So they can't claim Sarah's promise. God has not promised every sick person to be healed. So it would be very cruel to say to a couple who long for a child, Sarah believed, and if you have enough faith, you too can conceive. That's not fair. Her faith was attached to the promise of God. Faith in the Bible is not wish fulfillment. Did you hear me? Faith in the Bible is not wish fulfillment. Faith is not a creative act by which we bring what we want into being. It is the means by which we receive what God has promised to give. Faith is not trusting God to fulfill your dreams. Faith is trusting God to fulfill His promises. That's the key. Faith is tied to the promises of God. So how did Sarah come to believe this promise when she laughed in the tent? Oh yeah, this is never going to happen. She had not always believed it. The first time she heard that she was going to have a child, she laughed within herself. So how did she come to believe it? Well, faith rests on the promise of God. The strength of any promise depends on the person giving the promise. Someone has said, "I'll give you my word." Days gone by, that was very valuable. In today's world, you have to know the person. If that person is a known liar, their word is not worth very much. But if a person is known to be true, that word means a great deal. God is always true. He is truth. And He is always true to His word. If He has promised something, it will come to fruition. And Sarah believed God's promise when she learned it came from God. So when did that happen? When God appeared to Abraham and gave him the promise that Sarah would bear a son, and Sarah, inside the tent, hidden from view, laughed within herself. Genesis tells us that when God gave the promise, she laughed to herself. No sound was made, no smirk was heard. But the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh?" And Sarah realized the person is not an ordinary person. The person speaking, given this promise to Abraham, is God. He can even hear my private thoughts. This is God. Robert Bruce, a famous preacher and author, said it was not a mere man who was dealing with her. Neither was it an angel. For angels cannot see into our innermost thoughts. Therefore, at once it dawned on her that this man speaking was the living God. It was at this point she knew that nothing was impossible with God. So when He said, "She shall conceive," she believed. There's something very beautiful here. God knew that Sarah found the promise hard to believe. He knew that year after year, disappointment after disappointment had made her afraid to even hope. So God appeared at the tent door of Abraham before going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah to bring Sarah a word for her faith. A perfect picture of Christ and what He has done for us. The God who appeared to Sarah in the form of a man became the God-man, Christ Jesus. Show us that we can have faith in Him. He came so that we might know the Father. He came us to lead us to faith. He came so that by faith we might receive all that God has promised His children. Faith rests on the promises of God. But then lastly, faith advances the purposes of God. Notice now verse 12 of Hebrews 11. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead. There's a whole message there. We don't have time to dig into it. So many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. How did verse 12 come about? Because of verse 11. By faith, Sarah received strength. Sarah's faith led to the birth of Isaac. From Isaac, comes Jacob. From Jacob comes Joseph and his brothers. From Sarah came the line of descent that God had promised to bless the nation of Israel. But bigger than that, the church. The line into which Jesus Christ was born came from Sarah's faith. And the Bible teaches us that one day Jesus will gather a great company of redeemed people from every tribe and every nation who will glorify God and enjoy Him forever in a new creation that will be the home of righteousness. All purpose of God goes back to Sarah's believing the promise of God and having faith. Faith advances the purpose of God. He moves His sovereign purpose forward. He doesn't have to do it this way, but He chooses to do it this way by the means of people who receive from His hand because they believe His promise. By faith, Sarah herself. So how does your faith measure up today? If we had a test today and we had some type of meter that we could measure your faith today, how does your faith measure up? What do you need to receive from the hand of God today that He has promised to give? Are you facing an overwhelming challenge? Do you need renewed strength? Do you need some provision for life? Do you need some peace? Do you need some hope? Do you need forgiveness? Do you need your relationship with God? Each of these God has promised to provide if we ask faith. By faith or through faith, Sarah herself received. We too can receive from the hand of God if by faith we will ask according to His will and according to His promises to advance His purpose and not our own. We too can receive. Heavenly Father, thank You for the life of Sarah and for the lesson that You've taught us here, Lord. Help us now to apply these things to our hearts and lives. Help us to take these deep truths from the Word of God and see and apply them where they need to be applied. And where we're lacking, Lord, in our faith, help us, Lord, to ask unwavering through faith, fulfill Your promise and move forward Your purpose. Bless Your people. Thank You for them being here tonight. Thank You for loving us. In Jesus.